Okay, it's going to be Psalms 96, 2 and 3.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
Thank you, Grady. I mean, Natalie. He owes you one now. He owes you one now. If you would like to stand, please do so now. We will lift your voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Men, I have a living hope.
I have a living hope.
I have a future.
I have a future.
God has a plan for me. Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure.
Mighty in power.
God your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails. Will I fail me now? You won't fail. Joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise. Joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. Today's scripture is going to be in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 40, verse 3. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Growing up, I've always loved hearing that particular passage. It always gave me hope. Comparing our lives towards the eagles. At work, I have the opportunity to watch eagles. There is a nest about a quarter of a mile away from my treatment facility. It's become a real blessing for me watching these eagles from time to time. I look at their power, I look at their presence, and they're pretty awesome animals. I have seen little eaglets basically grow and go their separate ways from the mom and dad. I have seen both the male and the female fly together. It's a sight to be seen. I've heard their cries in the sky. And yes, I've even seen eagles soar. They always look magnificent when they soar. They kind of glide effortlessly. They don't use a lot of energy. The Lord will renew our strength, and we will soar on the wings like eagles. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, never tells us how the eagles get to that height. They never tell us about the struggle it takes to get to the height so an eagle can soar. The act of soaring takes a lot of hard work for the eagle. It takes strain and discomfort. You see, the eagle is a large bird. Their wingspan is very heavy. I've seen them struggle as they fly. It doesn't look magnificent when they try to get to where they need to get. In our lives here as Christians, it takes a lot of effort to get to us to soar to where we need to be with the Lord. So the Lord can look at us and say, you are magnificent, you are beautiful. Much energy is needed. Our burdens become very heavy. As we said this morning in a Sunday school class, we have many trials, we have many tribulations, but the Lord is with us, and he allows us to lean on him for our power and for our strength. The Lord understands our weaknesses. He understands that when we grow weary, we can lean on him. But if we have hope, we are renewed by the Lord's strength. He allows us to soar with him on high. Psalms 103, verse 2 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Shall we pray? Dear God, we approach your throne, Father, just thanking you for who you are. Dear God, we just thank you for this time and this place. Even though that we have our difficulties through the week, we can come to you and actually soar, that you can look at us and say, magnificent, my sons and my daughters, that we can be at ease, effortlessly, to come together to remember you, remember your sacrifice, to put our hope and our trust in you for the things to come. We just thank you and give you honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I stand before you now, the greatness of your renown. I have heard of the majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven, in humility I bow. As your love in wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter. I have heard you call my name. I have heard the song of love that you sing. Whoa, so I will let you draw me out beyond the shore into your grace. Your grace as your love. Get away. crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter. You make me brave, you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave, you make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. Crashes over me, crashes over. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter.
Thank you, son, for that wonderful song. What a great message. Well, I've been looking forward to this week, all week, with Don and Marcella coming. Just a little trivia. They married Susie and I, so we're always excited to have them come and be with us this morning. So we're gonna turn it over to Don right now.
Oh, it's good to be with you. Yes, and it's good to see several young people with us. Right, we appreciate that. Because I guess when you get older, you have a tendency to reminisce more than you do when you're younger. And at 82, I do some reminiscing about the past. But it's such a joy to be with you and to share the gospel and the excitement where prayers go with Joel and his trip. And also, I think his son graduated this year. And just trust that it they will have a good trip. I just was thinking about the past a little bit. And, of course, my brother, Ray, was able to serve the church here from 1956 until 62 for 6 years. And I remember when he came, I was a senior in high school. And we were raised in the Pleasant Grove Church. And but when I was a senior and Ray was preaching here, I started attending here and became a part of the youth group and was able to share some mighty good times. Of course, this when Ray started preaching here, he was not married, and he was still in Bible college. But I remember some of you, and I realize I'm speaking to people probably that don't remember these, but Earl Smith was just such a wonderful man. I can still visualizing him speaking with wisdom, and he would close his eyes as he was speaking, but he was such a marvelous man. Probably there was no better lady to tend the nursery than Imo Lewis. And she was a jewel. I could go on and on, but that was before this building was built, and there was an older building here, and they had were outgrowing that building, and so this building was built. But I can still remember the revival meeting that George Stansberry preached. And we had a good number of people we filled the building, and there were people who were standing outside the windows. Well, the windows were up, and it was in the summertime. But those were just some memories that I have of then. Lo and behold, it was Ben Holtry that was working on 71 when 71 was being built. And I was, I think it was before my senior year in college, he got me a job that summer. And so when I would drive on 71, I built that. Oh, I got a big wage. I remember it was $2.75 an hour. Of course, prices were a little different back then. But those were joyous times. Then, of course, 14 years later, there was a Lynn guy that came back to Waterford. Me. And I had the joy of preaching in southern Indiana at one church while I was still in Bible college, and then became a youth minister and was continuing my education in a seminary, and then was preaching at another church. I was in southern Indiana for 12 years and then went on what I would consider a mission. And that is, a new church was starting in Coffeyville, Kansas. And so Marcella and I made that trek to Coffeyville, Kansas, and were helping that church get started, and was there for about 5 years. The call came. I wanted to be back closer to family. My three children, I wanted them to get acquainted again with the family. And so we came to Waterford, and the Waterford Church graciously accepted us. And so, and remember, we moved in August, and believe it or not, it was cool, very cool. I can remember particularly to the member George Beck and Harold Pocock kind of helped us move in, and I was saying to one of the guys, I said, "Hey, we need some heat." And they showed the thermostat on the wall and said, "Well, you just turn that up." It was a learning experience. Oh, gracious. But I, wonderful times that I think about the 11 years that we were able to spend here in Waterford. And of course, they added on to the parsonage, so we had that. We appreciated that. I just think about so many names, you know. I don't know. Kind of tears come to my eyes when I think about the McClellans, the Becks, Jewels, Kilgallens, Fullers, B. Millers, Tinkies, Holtries, Bishops, Chapmans, Mass, Frasers, Ospaws, and the list can go on and on. I don't want to leave anybody out. But it was here shortly after that I had some surgery. I had gallbladder surgery. And then about 3 years later, as many of you will remember, I had aneurysm surgery at OSU Hospital. Was there for about 25 days, and then lost my voice after the surgery and wasn't able to speak out loud. Thought my days of preaching were over. And lo and behold, it was about Easter time, 3 months later, that my voice started coming back. But the Waterford Church, cared for us, watched over us, and was such a blessing. I just count that such a real joy. I can remember just many baptisms here, but a baptism that we had, the baptisms down here in the creek, when you just to the west of us here, and the joy of working and serving around Lake Camp. Jonathan, are you still working in handicap camp? I declare, what a blessing. What a blessing. And that has been such a blessing through the years. And I just can't help but mention this, and that is, we had a softball team. Remember that, Greg? Yeah. Oh, gracious. Those were wonderful days of playing softball. And, of course, I had the joy of getting acquainted with the Amish folks who were about. Robert Yoder was our next door neighbor, and he prepared our garden and helped us in so many ways. Of course, he used our telephone. Such a joy. But I thank you for allowing me to reminisce just a little bit, and we could go ahead with that. But what I wanted to do this morning, to get down to business, and that is, let's stick to the main thing. Let's get serious about the main thing. And Jesus, in Matthew 22nd, was faced with a question. And this question was put to the Pharisees. This is in the 22nd chapter, and starting with verse 34. And the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." I think that and this morning we need to look at that important word, love. We had an alumni banquet last evening at Dear Dutchman. And one of the plaques there at Dear Dutchman says, "Love makes a happy home." And I thought, that fits in my sermon for today. Love. Now let's start with love first. And that is, how important is love? I think, first of all, we need to love ourselves. When God made you, he didn't make any junk. He made you in the image, in his image. And he loves you. Fact is, he died for you. You are special. And if God had a refrigerator in his apartment at home in heaven, I don't know what that is, he would have your picture on that refrigerator. You are special. You are special. And when we think about that verse of scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved Don Lynn so much that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved Greg Cole. And you can put your own name in there. You are so special to God and you are loved. God loves us. And he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for us. But also we see that we need to be honest with that evaluation. You see, we need to recognize our abilities. Each of us has special talents and abilities. I wish I could sing like Jonathan. I can't. I wish I could play the guitar. But I can't. But God gave me different abilities. We're still trying to discover them. But God has given you special gifts. He didn't make us all alike. And those differences are special. I think about a church family. We need people who are spokesmen. We need people who are singers. We need people that can work in the kitchen. We need people that just are friendly with a big smile, a nice embrace. People who know how to love other people. People who can give of their resources. And some that can give just a cheerful word. We all have different abilities. I had no idea that our son would learn Spanish and spend 18 years in Venezuela. And now be teaching in a Bible college Spanish-speaking students as well as English. I had no idea that his daughter would be preparing to go to Barcelona, Spain as a missionary, working with Muslim women. I had no idea that the daughter that we adopted at the age of 3 would be having so many different children in her life and home. Over 100 children have been in and out of her home and family. You know, God has given us different types of gifts. And we say, Lord, how can I give what you have given to me for others? For your kingdom's sake. For your kingdom's sake. And as we think about love in that respect, we think about our eternal destiny. Because of Calvary, we face a blessed destiny. Future. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want anybody else to go to hell. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And that's because we have Christ's blood that has cleansed us from our sins and we have become new people. We have become treasures. We cannot turn our back on God because he is love. And you and I are all adopted. Because of Christ. And when we become a part of the family of God, when we are adopted into his family, we have a great hope ahead of us. So we practice love for ourselves and then others. I think also this scripture points out love for others. Oh, we cherish those words that says, do unto others as you would have others to do to you. Love for others. In our Sunday school time this morning, we talked about difficulties and how we handle those difficulties. Sickness and accidents are a part of life. Because we love our neighbors, we're concerned about them and their needs, and we seek to help them. Not only do we help them with their needs, but if they don't know the Lord, we love them so much we pray for opportunities that we will be able to lead our neighbors and our friends to the cross of Christ. We love them. We don't want them to share the destiny apart from God. We love them because, regardless of their color of skin or their background or their heritage. We love them because they are made in the image of God. And we want to treat them like we want them to treat us. Isn't that the proof of discipleship? What an example Jesus was to his disciples when they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And then he follows that with preparing a meal for them as a meal was being prepared. And no doubt grabs a towel and he washes their feet. Peter said, oh, no, no, you can't do that to me. But a change was made. And Jesus demonstrated that it was not because of pride. He was a servant. He was a servant. One of my preacher friends once said, to win the world, you must melt it, not hammer it. And a living church are filled with servants washing each other's feet, so to speak. It is a proof of discipleship. You know, in 1 John, it speaks about what love is really like. And I couldn't help but like to read this section of scripture. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And then he concludes, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I read this recently and I thought it was worth sharing. Comfort is love soothing. Peace is love resting. Prayer is love communing. Patience is love expecting. Enthusiasm is love abounding. Sanctification is love perfecting. Heaven is love attained. God is love. God is love. And so the next part deals with not only of loving ourselves, of loving one another, but our love to God. The heart is the seat of the moral life. Our faith is not just lip service, but is heart service. Our beliefs are to be lived out in our daily life. Countless times David is in the Old Testament is referred to as having a heart for God. A heart for God. My, how important it is that our heart be set. I love with all my heart God. I can't help but think about the time that I became engaged to my wife. I said to her, my love for you will ever shine like doodlebugs in turpentine. And that's held us together for 58 years. But you know, God wants our love with all of our heart. All of our heart. With all of our soul, how important it is that we love him. And when we love him, we will want to serve him. And we will want to serve our fellow man. And we will recognize our own importance in the kingdom. In the kingdom. I can still remember a few years ago, I held a revival meeting back in the church that I first served in southern Indiana. And after the service, all through the service, or every night during the service, there was a man that, with his family, that attended. I was going to be leaving on a Saturday, and I just couldn't leave without seeing him. Well, I wasn't able to catch him at the end of the service, so I asked one of the men to go with me to his home. And he had already gone to bed. I asked if we could speak with him, and he granted permission. Yes, come in. So we talked about the need of becoming a Christian. We need to accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. That very night, we baptized him. I think about circumstances such as that. Would he have finally accepted the Lord if we wouldn't have gone to his home? But when love drives us, to see other people's needs and try to meet those needs. It's amazing what the Lord will do with us when we love God, love our neighbors, and love ourselves. Jesus said, "If you love me, ye will keep my commands." And the promises given to us, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called to his purpose. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, your word strikes us in the heart because we thank you for your love in our behalf. We thank you, Father, for the love that others give to us and what we can share with them. And also, Father, the love that we will experience for all eternity in our heavenly home. Thank you, Father, for this church. And thank you for this invitation time as we consider being washed in the blood of Christ, that our sins and our past will be eliminated and will be freed and become a child of God. Thank you, Father, for this time of prayer. In the name of Christ, amen. We give this invitation if there's somebody who would like to answer the call of Christ. We would urge you to come and make your confession of faith and then to be baptized into Christ and becoming a cleansed person. As we sing this song, would you stand with me? Come.
Please stand. Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?